and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., your loyal host, your loyal producer, bringing our program in, as I usually do, with our theme song, No One Else, by Gregory Stafford. I truly appreciate him for agreeing to let us use this song to make it part of the Speaking With program. I want to ask you something. What's happening in the black community? I guess you say, well, I don't know. What do you mean by that? Okay, and that's a fair question. I asked a fair question, and you asked a fair question back. What's happening in the black community? What do you mean by that? Well, anything that stands out, anything that really comes to your mind that says, hey, you know, this is what's happening in the black community. Well, courtesy of Black Enterprise, let me share with you some things that are taking place in the black community that I think you might find inspiring. Starting with a $6 million investment that has been parlayed into $200 million. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, from $6 million to $200 million, that ain't bad. Actually, it has to do with someone with whom many of us, maybe most of us, possibly all of us, are familiar with, Mr. Kobe Bryant, retired NBA star. That man had game. He could play. I'm sure he can still play. It's just that his body is saying, okay, time for NBA retirement. Still in great shape, but it takes something to keep going up and down that court, jumping up and down on that hardwood. I tell you, it was only fairly recently that I began to find out that the body takes a beating when those feet are landing on that floor, jump after jump after jump, and probably the running too. You know, the experts tell us that when we're jogging, for instance, even walking, but especially jogging, where greater impact is made when our feet land, that we should not walk or run on hard surfaces like asphalt, because that asphalt is not very forgiving, very, very hard surface that causes the body to really take a beating as those feet come down step after step after step. Again, whether we're walking or jogging. So they recommend that we use a softer surface, whether that be grass or some type of cushioned flooring that may be inside of a fitness center, for example. And so you can imagine running up and down, the impact on the body as the feet are landing on that hard wood floor for hours at a time. Months and months and months, month in and month out, year after year after year. And that's in addition to all the running back and forth. So you can imagine the body would say, hey, this has been great, but it's time to take my break. Well, one of the things that we've talked about, and I'm saying we, people across America, certainly, maybe in other countries too, but I know across America have discussed for some time now, is what a lot of our retired athletes do once they're no longer playing the game. Well, Kobe Bryant made an investment roughly 4 years ago that has proved to be a huge windfall. In 2014, he bought a 10% share of sports drink Body Armor. A lot of you have seen that drink in your grocery stores and convenience stores. Body Armor sports drink. He bought a 10% share in 2014. Coca-Cola recently purchased a minority investment in Body Armor. But for Kobe Bryant's part, his 10% share amounted to a $6 million investment, initial investment. When Coca-Cola purchased a minority investment in Body Armor, Bryant's $6 million turned into $200 million. So in contrast to the many cases of former professional athletes going broke in retirement, today's crop of African-American athletes is increasingly business savvy as both entrepreneurs and investors. That's encouraging. That's inspiring. The fact that both of those areas are being visited by athletes, including African-American athletes. A lot of times, you know, a lot of us who never played professional sports would just kind of be saddened by the fact that so many athletes made so much money while they were playing, but didn't make any wise plans for what to do with the money while they were playing, so that the money could be doing something for them after they stopped playing. We have a lot of athletes, including African-American athletes, who are avoiding that mistake. So check this out. Kobe Bryant made that $6 million investment that turned into $200 million. And in 2016, he launched a $100 million venture capital fund with another entrepreneur and investor, Jeff Stibel. The funding was reserved for technology and media and data startups. So, again, a venture capital fund, $100 million. Establishing that venture capital fund was a real move into the financial world for Bryant. Stibel said the partnership was not about having Kobe Bryant act as a famous frontman or endorser for companies that are funded either. He points out that really, for him, most importantly, is helping others be successful. And he saw, and Bryant, this is a passion for him, helping other people be successful. And he wants to help people of the next generation be successful. So he's not just going to be a front man. Again, this is not a situation where he was hired to be the spokesperson for this venture capital fund. He invested and launched a $100 million venture capital fund with Jeff Stibel. So together, they have this VC fund going. So Black Enterprise contributor Jared Brown, who helped coordinate a $25 million initiative at the UNCF, the United Negro College Fund, was saying this about Kobe Bryant's fund. That he says really that Bryant is uniquely positioned to change systemic perceptions and transform how people of color navigate in the venture capitalist community, considering that 87% of venture capitalists are white. How many would you say, what percentage of venture capitalists would you say are African American and Latino? Now again, 87% of venture capitalists are white. What percentage of venture capitalists would you say are African American and Latino? I know you might be tempted to say, well, 13%. That would bring us up to 100%. That's a little optimistic, but understandable. The actual percentage is 4% of venture capitalists are African American and Latino. And so Kobe Bryant's willingness to invest in Black-owned firms could propel other venture capitalists to follow suit. Other Black athletes and celebrities have similarly stepped into the venture capital space. Recently, life insurance startup Ethos announced an $11.5 million financing round led by Sequoia Capital to make obtaining life insurance accessible and simple for everyone. Other investors in the round included a very star-studded cast. Among the list, Stanford University. Arrive, which is a subsidiary of Roc Nation. Robert Downey Jr.'s Downey Ventures. Kevin Durant's Durant Company. Will Smith's Smith Family Circle. And a credit facility from Silicon Valley Bank. All right, so that's what's happening in the Black community as it pertains to Kobe Bryant. Let's go down a bit the age ladder from Kobe's current age to the age of a much younger person, a girl who's considered to be a master chef junior. Talking about Miss Jasmine Stewart. She won competition as one of the master chef junior competitions. She wants to someday be like TV competition chef Bobby Flay, and she is sure enough on her way. She is 13 years old. I told you we're going down that age ladder. 13 years old. She won season 5 on the hit TV show Master Chef Junior because the girl can cook. And now she's being tasked with a new challenge. She, along with several other young chefs, are going to be revamping the kids' menu. Nope, not there. Some of you have been there, a resort. The Great Wolf Lodge Resorts, as a matter of fact. And she is going to be helping to revamp their kids' menu. Stewart says that the people were really focused on revamping that menu, and they definitely think that kids have a wider palate and want more variety. Can you imagine that? A 13-year-old talking like that? A wider palate. I agree with her. Some of those offerings for children at restaurants has just been kind of amazing to me, surprising to me. What? Is that all you're offering for kids? Of course, they're a child and they say, well, yeah, I'll go with that. That's what we get them. But I was just thinking, man, I would think that they have more interest than just that when it comes to eating out. Well, Jasmine is 13 and she, along with other young chefs in her age range, say the kids do, they think anyway, that the kids do have a wider palate, and they're kids themselves. So they might be right. Great Wolf Lodge actually approached Stewart, as well as 15-year-old Logan Guleff, who won MasterChef Junior in season 5. Madeline and Anna Zakarian, the 11 and 9-year-old daughters of celebrity Iron Chef Jeffrey Zakarian, and Conrad and Jed Elliott, the sons of celebrity chef Graham Elliott. Interesting that the people from Great Wolf Lodge believed in these kids, these children, so much that the children did not approach them, they approached the kids. They're all part of Great Wolf Lodge's Junior Chef Council. They're JCC, the Great Wolf Lodge's JCC, Junior Chef Council. They convene sometime this month to collaborate on the menu, which will launch in September. So this is not something that Great Wolf Lodge is saying, hey, you know what? We want to do something different. And we'd like to have this show on the road no later than 2020. They want it happening this year within 1 month. Next month, to be precise. When next month, I don't know, but in September of 2018. So they've all been asked to come up with, all the kids who were selected have been asked to come up with two dishes. One dish that kids could recognize might be chicken nuggets or mac and cheese. But she says that she and the other young chefs are not going to be afraid to get kids to actually push their culinary boundaries a bit with the new menu offerings. So Great Wolf Lodge is turning into an indoor water park resort empire. Right now they have about 17 locations across the U.S. So you go to a Great Wolf Lodge resort, you could go to any of 17 different locations, and you will probably, as of September of this year, be tasting something that was created by these kids. The company has launched more upscale food options than are typically found at family-friendly amusement parks, such as a farm-to-fork dining experience that's now at 3 of its parks. Farm-to-fork dining, where basically the organization, whether it's Great Wolf Lodge or some other organization, will try to get as much of their food directly from a nearby farm, so that the food is as fresh as it can possibly be, cutting out all the long long distance travel that a lot of the food goes through, so that it's still just as fresh as can be. So it's taken from the farm to the restaurant for preparation and then cooked and served. Very impressive. And there are a lot of people who are really getting into that. So many people who are wanting to eat healthier. So many people who are wanting to reduce that travel footprint that involves so much transportation of our foods that we eat and beverages that we drink. And so a lot of people are really becoming more and more interested in this whole farm to fork dining experience reality. Great move on their part. So with regards to Jasmine Stewart, where did her passion for the culinary world come from? And how did she start learning to cook at such a young age? I mean, she's only 13 and she has won one of these major competitions. She says she learned through her parents. They both have unique and different palates. Her father is from Jamaica. Her mother's from Virginia. And she asked them if they could teach her the basics. She started making eggs and moved on to pancakes and then cupcakes. And then she ended up getting into cooking as a hobby. And she says that the more you practice, the more you learn. Interesting. What about this? Does she see herself cooking as a career? This is really working for her now, but she's still only 13. What happens down the road? Well, she says she's definitely going into cooking when she gets older. She says, too, that not only does she enjoy the cooking, but that competition experience is something that she really liked. She says she loved being in front of the camera. And so she's thinking that maybe at some point down the road, she'll do a Bobby Flay style cooking show. So what do you think, ladies and gentlemen? Parents, how many of you have children who are asking you to teach them how to cook? What are the chances that at some point down the road, they might be on TV competing? All right, Mr. Maynard Ferguson. The song is entitled Primal Scream. That's why those horns sounded and the voices sounded a little bit scary there. But this song, as is the case with so many of Maynard Ferguson's songs, has some great music. All right, stay with me. I am your loyal host, and I will be back in just a few.